John. Now, to you that are new in the Lord, that's not St. John, that's 1 John, way back at the back. Oh, just keep going. If you go to Revelations, you've gone too far. When I was meditating on the scripture I'm going to read you in just a moment, I remembered a few years ago that I was having a little trouble remembering names. I can remember faces. If I've ever seen you, if I see you 10 years from now, I can still remember your face. But to put a name with that face, I was having a little difficulty. And there was a course that was advertised, how to associate names with faces. And I see some of you grinning. You must did like I did. I ordered it. But you know, after 50 years of traveling and preaching, I found out that most people don't need a good memory half as much as we need a good forgetter. Our greatest need is a good forgetter. The things that have happened to us, that have hurt us, the pain, the injustices, the tears because of what someone else did in our lives, to forget that, we need to forget it. But not only that, the things that we have done to other people, the pain we've caused, the hearts we've broken, the lives that we've blasted, the homes that have been destroyed, and children's lives devastated because of our selfishness and our self-centeredness, and those things that haunt us, that we drag after us year after year, month after month. And have you ever just felt like saying, oh God, I just wished I could forget. I wished I could forget. I believe that is one of the greatest torments of hell, is not just the flames, but in hell you still have your memory. Your brain may die, but your mind lives on. Because do you remember how he spoke to the man in the torments of hell? He said, have mercy on me and send Lazarus with a drop of water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And the word was, he said, son, remember? Still have your mind. You can still feel. You can still see. But, son, you remember? You remember all the church services you attended? Do you remember all the invitations? Do you remember how many people talked to you? Son, remember? I believe that would be one of the greatest torments of hell, is your memory of what it could have been if you'd have just said yes to the Lord. I believe when I look at our youth and look at our world, that's the reason so many people are taking drugs. That's the reason we have thousands of alcoholics among our teenagers and young people. They won't to get so drugged that the pain of the guilt, they can't think. That's why they keep something going. Have you ever noticed you walk in somebody's house? Nobody's looking at the television, but it's going. You get in the car, turn on the radio. I even noticed in the last few years, when they're jogging, they got some kind of contraption hooked up to the ear. They don't even think why they're jogging. You know, we used to be people that sit and we thought and we meditated. But I want you to know, if you've got a guilt that's eating you up, that's why the world is on drugs and alcohol and tranquilizers and anything and everything. Ease my pain. But this morning, I want to talk to you in the next few moments about getting your memories healed. There's three steps I'm going to mention. How do you get your memory healed? The first step to being healed is you must recognize your guilt for what it is. I want to read you my scripture, and then I'm going in to these three steps. In 1 John, the first chapter, I'm going to begin reading with the sixth verse. If we say that we have fellowship with Jesus Christ and walk in darkness, we lie and do not tell the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Gives us a blood bath and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Now, when I said that you've got to recognize your guilt for what it is, I want to say this to you. You can feel guilty and not be guilty. You can be guilty and not feel guilty. You say, what do you mean you can feel guilty and not be guilty? Any minister here or counselor, when a little girl has been molested, or a little boy, maybe it happened when they were 3 or 4 or 5, but when they come to talk to somebody about the pain that's been inflicted in their life, the abuse and the hurt, you know one of the first things they'll say? I feel so guilty. I feel so guilty. Less than. But you know, and I know, that that little girl and that little boy is not guilty. They are the victim of someone else's sin. They are not guilty. The Bible said right over in the third chapter, I just want to read this to you in the fourth verse. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses the law. You transgress this, the law of God. For sin, you know what sin is? Transgressing the law of God. He said, thou shalt not lie, you lie. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not commit fornication, thou shalt not covet. And he said, if you transgress my law, you sin. Now, underline this today. You may not feel guilty when you lie, when you covet, when you rebel, but whether you feel guilty or not, you are guilty. If you're committing, amen, if you commit adultery, you're guilty of adultery, whether you feel like it or not. I have people walk up to me, never blink an eye, introduce me to someone, and I say, is this your husband? Oh, no, we just live in. You have sinned against God. Thou shalt not commit fornication, adultery, lie, covet. Be rebellious against your husband, against your parents, against authority. He said, thou shalt not rebel. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as a sin of idolatry. Don't ever brag and say, I'm just stubborn. That's nothing to brag about. I'm just rebellious. That's a sin of witchcraft. Now, whether you feel guilty or not has nothing to do with it. God says you're guilty. And if there is a word here that says that is wrong, that is a sin, if you never feel guilty, if you never think you're guilty, you're still guilty because you have transgressed God's law and He said it was sin. Now, I will tell you this, and I don't ever want you to forget it. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with society today. Everybody's saying what's wrong with society. What in the world's wrong? People are killing each other like animals. What's wrong? People are killing their parents, pushing their children in a lake, suffocating their children, taking them out in the bathroom and killing them. What's wrong? What's wrong? Rebelling against authority. Rebelling. I'm going to tell you what's wrong. Now you hear this. Society today has a burden of guilt without a sense of sin. They have a burden. I'm hurting. Something's wrong inside of me. And they're drinking and they're doing everything. I'm hurting. And then they go to a modernistic church where there's a liberal behind the pulpit, or they go to a psychiatrist, or they go to a psychologist. And I want you to know this, there is not a psychologist and there is not a psychiatrist on the face of this earth that can help you unless that psychiatrist and that psychology knows the power of the blood of Jesus, because what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And unless that preacher, unless that psychiatrist can point me and you to the blood of Jesus, there's no one that can help you. What can can wash away your sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Give God a hand clap. But they go, and you know what they hear? If they do not know the power of the blood of Jesus to cleanse, they come in with a burden of guilt. And they say, well, it's just your chromosomes. It's just your genes. It's genetic. You're an adulterer. You're a whoremonger. You're a fornicator. You're a liar. It's genetic. It's just a chemical reaction. In other words, they're hurting. That's what's wrong with society. They've got a burden of guilt, but without a sense of sin. They're hearing it's chromosomes. They hear it's chemical imbalance. They hear that it's a genetic thing. Oh, and they leave. We diagnosed the problem wrong, and we don't know how to deal with the problem because I'll tell you what's wrong. It's sin. And I'll tell you what the cure. Jesus did not die for your mistakes. And Jesus did not die for your weaknesses. And Jesus did not die for your malfunction. Jesus died for your sins. Hallelujah. To wash them away. To cleanse you. Thank God. Oh, hallelujah. And yet, we say, oh, man's not evil. He's just ill. Man's not wicked, poor thing. He's just weak. Man is not sinful. He's just sick. We don't need to punish him. We don't need to forgive him. We just need to get him fixed. Oh, there's nothing that'll fix you, and there's nothing that'll fix me except to come to the cross and say, Jesus, come into my heart and wash away my... Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah! This is enough to shout about the rest of your life. David said it like this in the 51st Psalm. He said, blot out my transgressions. He said, oh God. He said, cleanse me from my sins. He said, oh God, wash me from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. He didn't say my chemical imbalance, my malfunction. He said, not my chromosome problem. He said, I transgress. And he said, wash me from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Oh, hallelujah. Number one, you've got to recognize sin for what it is. And number two, you've got to recognize grace. May amazing grace never cease to be amazing. You've got to recognize grace for what it is. I just want to read you a scripture. You don't have to turn to it. In Hebrews 8, 12. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, hallelujah. I feel like shouting. God said, I'll not only put you in the blood and wash them away, every lie, all adultery, fornication, rebellion. He said, I'll cleanse you. But he said, I will never, 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 never remember your sins against you. You don't have to worry about someday at the end of life that after you've been washed by the blood that you're going to stand there and there's going to be a big screen, and everything you've ever done will be there projected for the entire world to see. I want you to know, if you've asked Jesus to forgive you, and if the blood has cleansed you, there is no record. There is no glory. There is no record. It's gone. It's gone. Praise God. My sins are gone. Oh, hallelujah. I remember a lady that came to the altar one night, and she got up to the minister, asked her, "Would you like to say a word for the Lord?" And she said, "I would." She said, "I thank God tonight I went down a prostitute and I got up a virgin." Hey, I went down a prostitute and I got up a virgin. That's exactly right. Amen. She knew the power of the blood. If it's cleansed, if it's gone, and there's no record of it, and he's forgot it. If you forgot it, I forget it. That's how you get healed of your guilt. If he's forgot it, you forget it, because there's no record. Thank you, Father. I went down a prostitute, but I got up a virgin. There's no more record of your sin. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. You've got to recognize you've sinned, number one. Number two, you've got to recognize the grace of God. It's cleansed. Totally forgotten. Number three, and I'm closing. You've got to learn how to confess. If we confess, and that word means agree with. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. While she comes and plays, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, I come." Now here's what we're going to do today. We're going to say, "Lord, I have sinned. There's sin on my life. I have lied. I've committed adultery. I've committed fornication. I have coveted. I have been rebellious. I have been stubborn. I have been disobedient. I have sin in my life. But I'm so glad that your blood will wash it away." I'm going to tell you this morning, don't you ever forget it. There'll never be another day like this morning for you. While she plays it, I want every eye closed, every head bowed. How many will raise your hands all over this church and say, "Sister Peggy, there is sin in my life. I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter. He knows, and you know." God bless you. 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 And I want to come to that altar, and I want to confess it. "Yes, Lord, you said it was sin. And I agree with you, it's sin." God bless you, Mother. God bless you, Daddy. God bless you. "You said it was sin. I say it's sin. I want you to forgive me. And oh, Jesus, take your precious blood and cleanse me and blot it out. And thank you that you'll never remember it again." I want every person in this building that there's sin in your life and you want it washed away, I want you to come out of those pews as fast as you can while he sings. There is sin in my life. I want rid of it. I want forgiveness. Now you're saying there's sin on my life. There's sin on my life. I want to confess it. And I want that precious blood. I am not right with God. I have sin in my life. As we stand and sing it, there's several more that need to come. We're going to sing another stanza. Everyone stand in the congregation. Are you here today? And there is sin in your life. And you want the blood to wash you? Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. We're going to confess I have sinned. Sing it. Sing it. God bless you as you keep coming. Is there one more young person, dad or mother, say, I have sin in my life. I want forgiveness. I want cleansing. Thank God for these that are here. We're going to pray a prayer of repentance and confession. I beg of you, even as we start praying, if there's sin in your life, all you have to do is confess it. He said, confess and turn from your sin and receive Christ as your Lord. Say, gracious Father, thank you for the word. God, it gives me light. I have sin in my life. I confess I have sinned. Now won't you tell him what you've done? I've committed this transgression. I've committed this one. While he sings it, I want you to tell him. Now we're confessing, see. God, I've been rebellious. I've been disobedient. I've lied. I've committed adultery. I've committed fornication. I've stole. Whatever it is, just confess it. I'm going to tell you something. This is the most wonderful service you'll ever be in. Because when you get through confessing, then we're going to ask him to take his blood and he's going to wash. Listen, when you get up, as far as Jesus is concerned, you've never lied. You've never sinned. It is gone. Now remember that. That's how you get rid of your guilt. If God forgets it, you forget it. And when that devil comes and said, you remember what you did last week? Say, thank you for reminding me. Now I just have another opportunity to praise God. Oh, for the power of the blood. Thank you for giving me another opportunity to praise God. All right, say, Jesus, I asked you, take your blood and wash away every sin. Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I receive you as the Lord of my life. And I want to stand, let's stand up. I want to stand, let's stand together and raise your hands. And I want to thank you that you forgot it. They are gone. They are gone. They are gone. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Just raise your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. My sins are gone. My sins are gone. Hallelujah. Oh, let's sing that little chorus. What can wash away my sins? Wash away. Sing it. Clap your hands all over the church. What can make me whole again? nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We're going to ask Pastor Ophelia to come. We'll see you tonight at the 7 o'clock service. Brother Ophelia.